So here we are. It's Thanksgiving, the Sunday after Thanksgiving 2020. And we're having today what I'm calling a sermon Thanksgiving sandwich. Okay? Yeah, kind of like that. What that means is we had a sermon before Thanksgiving last Sunday. That was one part of the sandwich. And then we had the meat part, which was Thanksgiving, which you all experienced on Thursday. And now then we're having the other slice of whatever it is, the other side of Thanksgiving. So it's Thanksgiving 220, part two. That's what we're doing today. Ready? Part one, last week, then Thanksgiving, then part. How was Thanksgiving, by the way? Just one word, everybody. We're going to just pop out one word. Thanksgiving was... good. What?
Great.
Great.
Stuffing.
It was stuffing. It was stuffing. I wanted to say it was different. How many of that was different? A little bit different. A little different. Maybe even on the edge of weird in some ways. I'll tell you one thing that was different. Black Friday was different, right? I don't know if any of y'all were out, but a lot of people weren't. I wasn't. But I haven't been shopping on Black Friday, and so years and years ago, I had to look for some Cabbage Patch dolls for something, and that was when you still shopped in the store, which, you know, those days are gone. Well, anyway, here we are. We're talking about Thanksgiving, and we're talking about it in this way again, Thanksgiving in difficult times. Now, we are in difficult times, and the difficult times have not begun just with COVID. You know, there was difficult times before that. You know that? There was difficult times always. But the thing is, God's word speaks to those, and it speaks a word of hope, and it speaks a word of joy, and it gives some instruction about maneuvering through difficult times, and that's what we're going to do. You know, there are difficult times. Some things are not, it's just not the pandemic. Even though, don't we wish that would just, you'd wake up one day and think, this was a dream? Yeah. And, but no, not today, anyway. But there's other things, and we know them, and so I'm not even going to go through the list. I got a list written down, but, you know, I'm not even going to go through the list, because we know the list. We're experiencing the list. And even sometimes difficult good things come out of difficult things, and we see God's protection sometimes, like we had a car accident just yesterday. Thanks on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah, and everyone was safe. But you look at the car and you think, no, everybody's not safe. But sometimes good things come and we can see them, even in the midst of bad things. And so last week we talked about this verse, and it was from 1 Thessalonians, and it's give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we made a differentiation, and I used some notes from Rick Warren about this differentiation between, we don't give thanks for all circumstances, because some things, you know, we're just not thankful, and God's not either. But in all circumstances, we can give thanks. And so last week, we talked about how we can give thanks no matter what's going on in the world. We can still give thanks for God's amazing grace. Amen? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to need a soundtrack in this room maybe. Y'all are doing pretty good on the amen. A little not as good on the laugh, you know. A little laugh track. There you go. Okay, now. So... amazing grace. We also can give thanks no matter what's going on. We can give thanks that God is changing me. I'm becoming more like Jesus. We also can give thanks no matter what's going on that God is preparing a place for me, a home for me, eternity for me. He's preparing heaven for me, and this is good. This is good news. And I can give thanks for that no matter what's going on. And also that we can give thanks because God has placed us in a family, His family. And all of us may be kind of strange-looking people to have all the same Father, but we all do. And it's great to be in the family of God. And I'm so blessed to be in the CCC family of God. And it's good. So today, though, we're going to talk about something else that we can give thanks for, even when times are tough. And this is what we're going to go at today. This is mainly this one thing, and that is we can give thanks for the plans that God has for us. God has a plan for our life. And we can give thanks in even difficult circumstances for that plan. Sometimes in difficult times, God's plan seems kind of confusing, doesn't it? You're looking for, where is God here? Sometimes we ask, why is this happening to me? And we might even ask, why is God doing this to me? What's the deal here? Does God, in some periods of life, and this may be one, we wonder, does God still have a plan for me? Is something still going on? Does God still have a plan for me? Am I included in the goodness of God? And so a couple weeks ago when Jeremy was talking and preaching to us about the idea of pray until the peace comes. I love that part, how the sermon ended. There were so many good parts of it. But there was one thing he said that I loved it. He said, in prayer, we tell God our deepest desires. We just spill it out. And we just keep on talking to him. And he receives that. And we continue to tell him the deepest desires of our heart. The deepest desires of our heart. But also, God responds. And in scripture, in prayer, I think we tell God, this is what's on my heart, God. This is me. See me. Hear me. But in scripture, God tells us the desires of his heart. And he does it in many ways. His art has just beautifully told us. A lot of it is in stories. And some we're going to talk about one today. And this story is a story about difficult times. But God has a plan. I wonder if I said we're going to talk about God's plan for our lives and we're going to talk about his good plan, his plan for us to have a future, you'd know, where is that from? What? Yeah. We're having Bible Bowl right now. So you're supposed to tell me. Nope, but that's good too, though. We actually face difficult times in ways that are covered in God's scriptures for us. Some of the things that we're experiencing, his people experience as well. In 2 Kings 24, there's the story of when Nebuchadnezzar came and took the people off. And he did it a couple of times, years apart. And he took them off into what they called exile. And what I want to talk about exile today, kind of what Dr. Ray talked about today in class about the desert. But exile is real. And I want to say it's real bad, or for sure it's really hard. And so the exiles, they're thousands of Israelites, they're in Babylon. It's not as bad as the Egyptian slavery, but they actually got the chance to have their own homes. They could even go into business for themselves, but they were not free. They had to do what the Babylonians told them to do. They had to work for the Babylonians. It was not good, and they hated it. And they wondered, had God forgotten them? And what's going on is, in the middle of this, Jeremiah is back in Jerusalem, and he's telling the people, this is what God says. He says, this is what God says. And he's trying to tell them what God says and what he wants them to do, not only the people in Jerusalem, but he sends a letter. You thought this was cute, right? I thought this was kind of cute. He sends a letter. We call it, you know, Jeremiah 29. In Jeremiah 29, he sends the exiles, the Jews who are in Babylon, he sends them a letter. And we're going to read the letter together. And what he wants them to know is, hey, God hasn't forgotten you, but there's more to it than that. He wants to tell them that God has a plan for them, but it may not be exactly what you think. So what we're going to do is, you might guess, we're going to read the letter. And so the letter starts in verse 4 of chapter 29. And it has several different things it tells them to do. He says, this is what the Lord God Almighty says to all those who are in exile. Verse 5, or in the letter, you know. build houses and settle down. Okay, now, this is what he's telling these people. Now, one of the things you need to know is, back in Jerusalem, and also in Babylon, there are false prophets who are saying, Jeremiah's nuts, he's crazy, he's wrong. And as a matter of fact, this exile thing, it's going to be over in 2 years or less. So he's saying to the exiles, the false prophets are saying, don't unpack your bags, because this is going to be done quickly. God doesn't want anybody to suffer. That's what he's saying. And people are going to suffer. But God's, the false prophets are saying, this is going to be over quick. Don't worry. It's not a big deal. Some of you may have heard some people talking about our pandemic like that. Right? It's a big deal. It may not be over. I was hoping it would be over by now. Didn't you think that last spring when this thing first started, that we'd be done with it by now? You thought so? Yeah, well, we're not. Are we? No, we're not. So he says, Jeremiah says, I want you to build houses and settle down. Well, if you're going to build a house in a foreign country, you're thinking, maybe I'm going to be staying here for a while, okay? Number two, he says, plant gardens and eat what they produce. So, hey, settle down. You're going to be there a while. Build houses, plant gardens. And then he says, marry and have children. Well, you know, that's going to take a couple of months anyway, for sure. You know, you're going to get married and you're going to have children. We're staying here a while. Settle down. Here we are. We're going to live here. Now, remember, what is this? This is God's plans for these people who are in exile. And as we're reading this, I want you to remember, God maybe has a message for us in our form of exile today from these things. Now, I'm not saying he's wanting you to have babies, Steve, Michelle. That's not directly. You know, we're going to get some information from this. But Art, you and Betty, we're not talking about that right now. But this may be for some of you. He says, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they can have sons and daughters and increase in number. He wants your children to have children. So he wants you to have grandchildren. And all of us who are grandparents know that grandchildren are always good news, right? Amen. Amen. We have some somewhere around here in the building. So it's great. And then he says to them this. Seek the Shalom, or it says in most of your Bibles, it says peace and prosperity of Babylon. But the word that's used there, the Hebrew word is shalom. Seek the shalom, the peace and the prosperity of Babylon. And this is where we go, what? These are our enemies. How are we going to seek their welfare? That's crazy. And we're going to say that all together. I want you to say crazy with me. That's crazy. No, we don't do that. Why would we do that? These are the bad guys. And we're going to seek their peace and prosperity. Here's what God says in the letter. Jeremiah wrote it. It's right here in the letter that I just pulled out of the envelope. Fresh. He says, pray for that city. Pray for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Hey, does that not make sense, right? If the country you're in is doing well and you're part of it, you're going to do well too. But now then they wanted to go home quickly, but they're not. This doesn't sound like that's what's happening, does it? It doesn't sound like that. Well, the letter goes on. There's another part of it. Besides seeking the shalom, this is what he also says. Don't listen to the false prophets. Here's what they say. He said, this is what the Lord Almighty says, this is verse 8, if you're in the Bible, and you don't have an original copy of the letter. He said, don't let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. See, what some of the folks were doing, they were coming up to the prophets, the false prophets, and saying, hey, we'd really like to have a message about telling us that if we come to your church, we're going to get rich. Could we have that sermon next week? Just if we come you know, 3 weeks in a row, maybe, you know, we'll get rich. We'll never get sick, you know, and life is going to be great. And, you know, interestingly enough, 650 or so years later, Paul says the same thing to Timothy. Because, you know, this is a continual problem that the audience often suggests sermon topics to the preacher that make them want to feel good, even if it's not true. But the plans of God are true, and yet sometimes we want to say, dig in a little deeper, but are they good? Is this plan good? Is this good? So God continues in the letter, and we're going to talk about this some maybe next week, but he promises to bring the exiles home in 70 years. Now, I want to ask you something. Does that sound good news to you? Does that sound good news to you? Whew. And maybe what I'm asking here is, where is the good news in this? Is there any good news here? I don't know. So here's what he says. These are my plans for you. I'm going to have good plans. You're going to have a future. But these plans depend on you following the instructions, because the instructions for life in exile coincide with the plans. So he says, what do we do? I'm going to be a good citizen. You're a Jew living in Babylon. Be a good citizen in Babylon. And now then, be a good neighbor and be patient. You're going to have to wait on some of the things that you want. But overall, this is a kind of a different perspective, because really what I want is something a little bit different than maybe what God's wanting for me. We're going to sing in a little while the song Oceans. And there's a line in the song that goes like this. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. And I think about that phrase, your sovereign hand. What is that about? God's sovereignty means that he's in charge, that he's the king, and it's his kingdom. I'm praying the prayer, right, with you. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm not praying the prayer, our Father in heaven, Bob's will be done. Bob's kingdom come. I'm praying that God's kingdom comes, that he's in charge, not me. I'm going to trust him even when it doesn't look like it's what I want is going to happen. I'm still going to trust him. His sovereign hand will be my guide. He's going to guide me because he's in charge. Even during bad times, God's in charge. His sovereign hand will guide me, will lead me to the place where I need to be, to the place where I need to go. His sovereign hand will be my guide. And so a lot of times, this is the facts, God's plan for me and for you might be a little different than my plan for myself. You know what I'm saying? God's plan for you might be different than the plan you have for yourself. I taught Bible, and I taught a sophomore Bible class that was required. I'm not sure how many people would have taken it if it wasn't required. It was Old Testament. You know, how many are signing up for that? And I would ask them, you know, just to kind of get started at the beginning, I'd say, why are you taking this class? And of course, their reason was, I'm going to let you guess what their reason was. It's required. Okay. Oh, boy. So then I would say, yeah, well, good. And so why do you want to take that required class? And they would say, well, because I want to graduate. Okay. Good. You're tracking. I said, why do you want to graduate? Well, because, you know, I came to college to graduate. Oh, really? That's it? Then that's your goal for college, that you came to college to graduate. Well, yeah, then what? Oh, well, I want to get a job. Oh, well, you know, you can get a job without going to college. I break that news to them. Again, sophomores. Yeah, but no, I want a good job. And you know what a good job is? There's two things that are in a good job. One is it pays a lot, and the other is it's what I want to do. Those are the two things that make a job good, especially for a college sophomore. I said, you know, really, what you're thinking about is this dream job that's going to have your dream house and your dream car and your dream lifestyle, along with your dream wife or husband and your dream kids, and it's all going to be just perfect, right? God might have a different plan than that for you. God had a different plan for Job, didn't he? Man, Job had a good thing going. He went to that college that these kids wished they would have gone to. I mean, everything was swell. He had a great family. He had a great job. He had lots of stuff. He was a great guy. Boom, God had a different plan. Joseph, not for any fault of his own, got thrown in the hole, got taken to Egypt, went to prison. This was not Joseph's plan. This didn't look like a good plan at the time, but God had a plan for Joseph. Both Peter and Paul, they're writing almost something just like this. They're writing to the church in Rome. They're writing from the church in Rome, and they say, you guys need to be good citizens. In Romans 13, you need to be good citizens. It's 1 Peter 4. You need to be good citizens, and you need to pray for the emperor. And it's interesting that he says, both of them say this, and the emperor killed both of them. So God's plan for Paul might have been a little different than Paul's plan for Paul. Do you see what I'm saying? And maybe this is what God is telling us in this. Hey, be a good citizen, be a good neighbor, and be patient. Maybe that's what we need to think about. Jesus calling this last week said this, Jesus saying to me, you give me thanks regardless of your feelings, and I give you joy regardless of your circumstances. Wow. My feelings are the thing that often causes me trouble. And one of the things that causes me trouble about how I feel about life has to do with, I'm calling it, unmet expectations. A preacher, a friend of mine, said, unmet expectations expose the battle between God's plan for my life and my plan for my life. Let me read that again. Unmet expectations expose the battle between God's plan for my life and my plan for my life. Frustration, disappointment, anger, bitterness, or peace and patience. The circumstances could be the exact same circumstances, and our emotional response be frustration, disappointment, anger, or bitterness, or peace, patience. So, how do my feelings become aligned with God's plan? How does this happen? Because that's what I want. I want my feelings to be aligned with God's plan. First of all, I better read what God's plan is about. And I do believe we got instructions in the book. What's God's plan? What's God's plan for my life? He wants me to love my neighbor. Boom. Okay? Does he want me to be a football coach? I don't think God really cares that much about football or football coaching. But if I do become a football coach, I think he wants me to the kind of football coach that loves his neighbor. Are you with me? What's God's plan for your life? His plan is for you to love your neighbor. Today, in the middle of pandemic, I'm going to love my neighbor. What does that look like? Well, it might look different things, different ways. We're going to sing now the song that I just reference oceans. And as we sing, you hear that line, His sovereign hand, meaning God is in charge. Sometimes the way God is in charge, man, that's not the way I would be in charge if I was God. But then I remember, I'm not God, right? I'm just not. And even when I was the head coach, I wasn't God, right? So how do my feelings become aligned with God's plan? Step one, I do believe, is to give thanks for His plan. To find out what is His plan and to give thanks for His plan. Now, I'm going to talk a lot next week about what's step two. So we're going to come back to the same question. How do my feelings become aligned with God's plan? Because I believe that can happen. Doesn't mean I'm always going to feel good, but I believe my feelings can become aligned with God's plan. Now, it's going to have to go beyond step one, but step one is a good place to start. That I'm going to thank God for His plans, for His plan for my life. Let's sing together, and then we'll have a closing prayer.